Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into, well, a really compelling figure in comedy, Daryl O'Flynn Lennox.
Yeah, born 66, passed away just last year, 2023, a 34-year career in stand-up.
And it wasn't just about jokes, was it? His whole story is about navigating some intense personal stuff, moving around geographically, and just really digging into the differences between, say, Canadians and Americans.
That's right. It's an incredible life and body of work to explore. We're not just, you know, listing dates here. We're really trying to understand his resilience. We've got a lot of biographical sources, and they consistently call him a giant of Canadian comedy.
Which is fascinating, given he was American, right? From Vegas originally?
Exactly. So our mission today really is to get beneath the surface facts. We want to uncover the insights, the things that let him turn cultural observations. And, I mean, the unbelievable challenge of going blind into this unique comedic voice, part humor, part philosophy.
And that's the core of it, isn't it? The two big themes running through his work. First, like you said, the whole Canadian versus American thing, sharp, funny, sometimes kind of gentle observations.
Mm-hmm.
And second, his own personal journey with his eyesight. Decades of it deteriorating, eventually leading to him being totally blind.
And that combination, that's what makes him stand out. He took the external observing culture and paired it with the deeply internal struggle. It's what made him, you know, more than just a comic, almost a philosopher on stage.
Yeah, balancing that raw club humor with stuff that felt, I don't know, deeper, a therapeutic almost.
Absolutely. And the recognition he got was huge.
Yeah, I mean, appearances on Conan.
Right. And that really revealing talk on Marc Maron's WTF.
Oh, that was a big one. And This American Life, too.
Mm-hmm. Plus his big specials, Blind Ambition, back in 2012.
And Super Bloom in 2021. Such a powerful title for that one.
And they weren't just, you know, popular. Critically acclaimed, Stage Time magazine called Blind Ambition one of the top five comedy albums of the year. That's major praise.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. How did this guy from Las Vegas end up becoming such a defining voice up in Vancouver?
All right, so Daryl Lennox, born in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1966. His early family life had some big shifts.
Yeah, his biological dad was a Vietnam vet, left when Daryl was only four.
Right. So he and his four sisters were raised by his mother and stepfather.
And what's really interesting right from the start is this contrast. He had physical challenges early on.
Mm-hmm. Nearsighted from birth, which obviously became a huge part of his story later.
But at the same time, he was apparently a really gifted athlete. Wanted to play pro basketball.
Yeah, quite talented despite the vision issues. And that ambition, that drive you see in athletes to overcome physical stuff, you can kind of see that carrying over into his comedy career later.
That makes sense. That resilience, that sort of competitive spirit, maybe taking it from the court to the stage, even when he couldn't really see the crowd clearly.
Totally. So the geographical shift started when he was a teenager. He moved up to Seattle. His biological dad lived there. And Seattle's where the comedy bug really bit. First time on stage was at an open mic. Seattle Comedy Underground. Legendary spot.
Right, right. So Seattle was the launch pad. But he didn't just stay put, did he?
No, typical comic journey in some ways. He moved around a lot early on, did time in L.A., New York, Florida, trying to find his footing, his base.
But eventually.
Canada.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
All the sources point to Vancouver, British Columbia, as the place he really considered home, his adopted home.
And that wasn't just like, oh, I like Vancouver. It really shaped his career path, didn't it?
Oh, fundamentally. Most of his early stand-up career, like the core years of developing his voice, happened in Canada. He made that definitive move to Vancouver in 1994.
Okay, let's pause there. That move to Vancouver in 94, you said it was a fundamental shift. How so? What changed?
Well, this is key to understanding his whole artistic evolution. You take an American comics, you use the American rooms, American issues, and you drop them into Vancouver. Yeah. You found out pretty quickly, like a lot of comics do crossing that border, that Canadian audiences, well, they react differently.
Yeah.
How differently? What wasn't landing?
From what he said, it was often the stuff focused really tightly on American racial dynamics or very specific kind of hot button U.S. political jokes. They just didn't hit with the same immediate gut reaction in a Vancouver club.
Less relevant directly, maybe?
Yeah.
Or just a different comedic sensibility?
Probably a bit of both. You know, American humor often thrives on that high tension, conflict, clear sides. Canadian humor often leans more towards self-deprecation, observation, maybe finding the absurdity in things rather than direct confrontation. It's a generalization, of course, but there's truth to it.
So he had a choice.
Yeah.
Keep doing the same stuff and maybe not connect or adapt.
And he adapted. Smart move. It forced him to broaden his perspective, move away from jokes that only worked if you were deep in U.S. current events, and become more, well, more universal. More philosophical.
So the outsider perspective became his strength.
Exactly. Observing Canadian culture from an American viewpoint gave him endless material. Contrasting that Canadian politeness, which he sometimes framed as kind of passive-aggressive, hilariously, with American, you know, intensity or bluntness.
So Vancouver basically made him step back, watch more, find the humor in the human stuff, not just the headlines.
Precisely. He developed that sharp outsider's eye, and that's where the philosophical tag really started to make sense. He turned cultural observation into something deeper about existence. That's a big leap for a stand-up.
But his commitment to Canada wasn't always smooth sailing, right? He actually got deported at one point.
Yeah, that was a huge disruption. It happened in 2005, some kind of alleged work permit issue. He was out of Canada for 5 years.
Wow, 5 years.
He didn't just give up and stay in the States. He fought it, and eventually the issue was sorted out. Apparently it was based on a mistake, and he was able to return in 2010.
That five-year gap. And then coming back,
mm-hmm.
It really underlines how much he saw Vancouver as his home base, his creative center. He didn't just drift away.
No, he actively worked to get back. And his return in 2010 really kicks off his most acclaimed period. It proved those Canadian roots were real and deep. He really was the comedian of two nations, but he chose Canada as the place to forge his voice.
So Lennox is back in Vancouver. His style is locked in. And people were noticing what made him different. The Georgia Strait, big Vancouver paper, called his comedy part philosophical, part therapeutic, part inspirational.
But those are pretty heavy words for stand-up comedy, aren't they? Well, usually it's just funny.
Right. But it fits him. The philosophical part, that's the cultural observations, the human condition stuff.
Yeah, and the therapeutic that comes from his honesty, I think. Brutal honesty about his life, especially the vision loss, relationships, failings.
And inspirational is just, turning all that difficulty into brilliant comedy. That's inspiring in itself.
Definitely. And look at his influences. They reflect that duality, too. He mentioned the absolute titans of American truth-telling comedy. Richard Pryor, George Carlin.
Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle. Comics who made stand-up into real commentary.
Exactly. But then he also credited people closer to his journey. Rod Long, a Seattle comic from his early days.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, Canadian comic Brent Butt.
Oh, interesting. Brent Butt is known for that very Canadian gentle observational style, like Corner Gas.
Right. So Lennox was clearly pulling from both worlds, that American intensity and that Canadian nuance. He was blending them.
And that blend made him a cornerstone of the Vancouver scene, which leads to maybe the coolest story about his influence, mentoring a super young Seth Rogen.
Yeah, apparently Rogen was just a kid, like 13, hanging around the comedy clubs.
Yeah.
And Lennox kind of took him under his wing.
Wow.
Rogen's talked about it a lot, says Lennox was a huge influence on him, especially on his first big movie, Superbad.
Really? What do you think Rogen took from him?
My guess. Probably that permission to be really raw and vulnerable, but still funny. Lennox is always honest about his flaws, his anxieties, even before the blindness got really bad.
Hmm.
And Superbad has that same kind of awkward, unfiltered honesty about being young. It didn't feel like slick Hollywood stuff.
Yeah, it felt real.
Exactly. And they stayed connected. Lennox even narrated a story in the audio version of Rogen's memoir, Yearbook, years later. It shows that influence went beyond just jokes. It was about truthful storytelling.
So he's building this base in Vancouver, mentoring future stars. But he still had that American competitive drive, didn't he? He was hitting the competition circuit hard.
Oh, yeah. He didn't just stay local. He won the Seattle International Comedy Competition back in 99. Big win, showing his stuff worked stateside, too.
And kept going second place in the San Francisco competition in 2000. That's a tough one.
Very tough. And then another second place, 2006 Boston Comedy Festival. These aren't small potatoes. These are major platforms in big US comedy cities.
It proves that the deeper philosophical stuff he honed in Canada, it translated right back across the border. People got it.
And he was everywhere festival-wise too. SXSW, Winnipeg, Just for Laughs in Montreal, HBO's US Comedy Arts Festival, Vancouver Comedy Fest. I mean, the list goes on. He was working constantly.
Plus TV and radio on both sides of the border. In the US, you had Conan.
Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
Comedy Central presents BT's Comic View. Even Jamie Foxx's Laugh-A-Palooza.
Right, showing that range. Mainstream cable, late night BET. He could connect with different audiences. But his Canadian media presence is really telling too, like being a guest panelist 6 times on CBC Radio's The Debaters.
Yeah, the debater's great. It's not just stand-up. You have to be quick, argue funny points.
Exactly. It requires serious wit and cultural literacy. Being on 6 times, that means you're considered top-tier funny in Canada, someone who gets the nuances.
He was also a judge on Get Cooking with the Stars twice. That's pretty random, but shows he was becoming a known personality.
Totally. So by the early 2010s, Lennox isn't just a comic in Canada. He's part of the fabric of Canadian entertainment, respected, established.
Which means when his health really took a turn, when the blindness became the central story, he had this incredibly solid foundation already built. He had the platform, the skills, everything ready to process that huge challenge through his art.
Okay, let's get into what is maybe the most defining aspect of Daryl Lennox's life and comedy, his journey with sight loss. It started early, right? Nearsighted from birth.
Yeah, and legally blind by the time he was a teenager.
Just pause on that. Legally blind as a teen. That means a huge chunk of his early comedy career, when he was figuring things out on stage, was done with seriously bad vision.
Imagine that, standing under those bright lights, trying to connect with an audience you can barely physically see. It must have forced him to rely so much more on listening, on tone, on just the feeling in the room.
Had to make him a better listener, maybe more conversational on stage.
Could be. And the decline wasn't just a straight line down. He had a bad injury in 1997 that made his sight worse. But then, and this is just incredible, he had surgery that actually worked. It restored his sight for several years. Wow. I didn't realize that. To get it back and then lose it again later.
Can you imagine the psychological impact? Seeing clearly again after years of impairment, seeing faces, details only to know it wasn't permanent, and then eventually face losing it all again? That experience alone gives you a perspective on, well, on everything, on how temporary things are.
As you eat, almost cruel twist,
Yeah.
and the fight just continued. He finally became totally blind in 2021.
Yeah, right around the peak of his recognition, tragically. A decades-long battle ending in complete darkness.
And he wasn't just talking about it on stage, he was doing work off stage too, right?
That's right. He got involved with the Third World Eye Care Society. It's a charity helping visually impaired people in poorer countries. He was trying to channel his own experience into something positive for others.
Which brings us to Blind Ambition, his first really big special, recorded in Vancouver at the Vogue Theater, October 2010, just after he got back to Canada.
Perfect timing, really.
Yeah.
And the title, Blind Ambition, it's just brilliant. Takes that corporate buzzword and makes it deeply personal, vulnerable, and literal.
And it got noticed. Stars picked it up for TV in the US.
Huge deal. Put his story and his comedy in front of a massive American audience, and the critics loved it. Stage Time magazine called it one of the most complete experiences in comedy this year. Top 5 album of 2012.
What's that even mean, most complete experience in comedy?
But I think it means it wasn't just a string of jokes. It was a journey. It had narrative, themes, emotional depth alongside the laughs. Jake Austin from Rocktober Magazine put it really well.
What did he say?
He said Lennox could address mortality, race, personal failings and triumphs, what it means to be an American, and what it means to be a human in very funny, touching terms. See, not just jokes, existential stuff.
That mix again. The personal pain, the cultural observation.
Richard Lanois, another reviewer, pointed to the specifics, the wickedly funny, self-deprecating stories about his sight, but also that laser-sharp take on the Canadians he lived with.
So Blind Ambition was really the moment those two big threads, the two nations, the blindness came together perfectly in his art.
Absolutely. He took this incredibly vulnerable thing, losing his sight, and used it to connect. That's therapeutic comedy at its best. He made people laugh with him about the absurdity of it all, which kind of gives you permission to look at the absurdities in your own life.
Okay, so fast forward almost 10 years, 2021. He releases his next major album, Super Bloom. And this comes out right when he actually becomes totally blind.
Yeah, the timing is profound. And that title, Superbloom, it's maybe the most powerful metaphor he ever used.
Explain it. It's a desert thing, right?
Exactly, like in Nevada, where he was from, after really heavy rain, sometimes in places that look totally barren, you get this sudden, massive, unexpected explosion of wildflowers, just blankets of color.
Wow. So the metaphor is blindness is the heavy rain, the darkness.
That's how it feels, the trauma, the
Yeah.
difficulty. And the super bloom is the unexpected growth, the new perspective, the wisdom, maybe even the new material that comes out of that
That's
darkness.
incredibly poignant.
And the album was another hit, number one on the iTunes comedy chart. It shows audiences respond to that kind of honesty, especially when it's handled with humor and grace. Sean Connor at the Vancouver Sun pointed out it felt more positive, maybe.
How so?
Connor said the theme seemed to be that there is usually a silver lining somewhere. It felt like a shift.
So if blind ambition was about the struggle with the loss.
Yeah, maybe Super Bloom was about accepting the new reality, finding the unexpected upsides, even.
Like what?
Like, he talked about later having to trust people differently, relying on other senses, judging people just by their voice and intent, not how they look. It suggests a kind of peace with it, maybe, an embrace of the change. It's the ultimate statement of acceptance, in a way.
But Lennox wasn't just sticking to stand-up albums. He was clearly pushing into other forms too. He wrote and performed a one-man show called DNA.
Right. DNA was his chance to stretch out as a storyteller, really build a theatrical narrative from his life experiences. He toured it to
And it
festivals.
did well.
Really well. It won Best New Play at the Vancouver Fringe Festival. And note that Best New Play, not Best Comedy Show or Best Stand-Up. That signals he was being recognized as a writer, a playwright even.
And that opened other doors, didn't it? I read HBO was interested in DNA.
Yeah, apparently HBO showed serious interest in developing it into a sitcom.
Wow, HBO. That's a big leagues for development.
Absolutely. It means the industry saw potential in his voice, his story, his characters for long-form TV. He was right on the edge, possibly, of becoming a creator, a showrunner. Huge potential there.
And his reach also just exploded thanks to podcasts. That 2013 appearance on Marc Maron's WTF, that must have been huge for him.
Oh, massive. Maron's audience is full of dedicated comedy fans, people who really listen deeply. It's often where comics get really, really honest. Lennox definitely used that platform well.
But he went beyond just comedy podcasts too, right? He ended up on This American Life.
Yeah, in 2022, just the year before he passed, that's crossing over into major narrative journalism, a huge achievement for a comic.
And This American Life is all about that deep emotional storytelling. What was his segment about?
It focused specifically on how going totally blind changed the way he trusted strangers.
Oh, wow. That's deep.
Think about it, losing all visual cues, body language, facial expressions, and having to rely completely on sound, on intuition, on just trusting someone's voice when you need help navigating the world. It's a profound shift in how you relate to other people.
He must have had incredible insights on that, the vulnerability involved.
Totally. And that specific appearance, that story he told, it actually led to a book deal.
No kidding.
Yeah, he was working on a book, presumably memoir or philosophical reflections, based on that experience and his life right before he died.
Man, so he was really moving into that next phase, author, thinker.
It definitely seemed like it. Stand-up, playwright, potential TV creator or author. He was expanding his reach constantly. He also did other podcasts like Too Opinionated, AT Banter. That's one about accessible technology, which makes sense. And Middle of Somewhere. These platforms let him talk about his life and process in ways mainstream interviews just don't allow.
Shows he was smart about building his career, too. He even started his own entertainment company.
Yep, Ellison Reigns, founded in 2019. He wasn't just waiting for calls. He was building his own thing, ready to produce his own projects, stand-up, plays, books, whatever came next.
And personally, we know he was married twice.
Yeah, divorced his first wife back in 94. His second marriage was to a musician, Claire Riley Rowe. They divorced in 2019. Just another layer of the complexity in his life journey.
And then tragically, it all came to an end much too soon.
Way too soon. Darryl O'Flynn Lennox, born January 28th, 1966. Died April 16th, 2023. He was only 57.
What was the cause?
An aortic dissection happened at Vancouver General Hospital. Just sudden and heartbreakingly young, a career still very much in progress. Hashtag tag outro.
So when we look back at Daryl Lennox's 34 years in comedy, what's the big takeaway? For me, it's this incredible ability he had to take the absolute toughest parts of life, losing sight, feeling like an outsider, navigating cultural divides, and turn them into brilliant connecting comedy.
Yeah, he really was that rare thing,
yeah.
The comedian as philosopher. He showed that being deeply vulnerable doesn't have to be weakness. It can actually be the source of your greatest strength and connection with an audience.
Mastering that dual identity, right? American and Canadian, sighted and blind. He used those tensions.
Absolutely. He translated displacement and trauma into material that was not just funny, but accessible, inspiring, and just profoundly truthful. Guy McPherson, who writes a lot about Vancouver comedy, called him one of the best comics this city and country has ever produced. That's high praise.
And his influence lives on, obviously, through his work, but also through people like Seth Rogen, who he mentored so early on. That impact will ripple out for a long time.
Definitely.
And maybe the best way to end this deep dive is to come back to that title, Superbloom. That image he chose for his last album, released right when he went totally blind. The desert blooming after the heavy rain.
It's such a perfect, powerful metaphor for his whole approach to life, isn't it? Finding beauty and growth right after the darkest, most difficult period.
It really is. It suggests that sometimes the most challenging experiences are actually preparing the ground for something unexpected and beautiful to grow.
And that's the final thought maybe we can leave you, the listener, with. If Daryl Lennox could find that profound super bloom of insight and creativity after the heavy rain of total blindness, well, it makes you think, doesn't it? What tough times, what challenges in your own life, once you process them, once you accept them, might actually lead to your own unexpected super bloom. What new perspective, what surprising growth could emerge from the hardest ground you've ever had to cross? That wisdom, that resilience. Maybe that's the ultimate punchline Daryl Lennox left for all of us.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humor. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.